Okay, so you're a law student. You're probably neck deep in property law at some point, reading these crazy fact patterns, and you're just like, ugh, what is even important here?
Yeah, I've been there, trying to pick out like what's the signal, what's the noise, what's going to actually like drive the outcome of the case. It's a lot.
It really is. So today we're going to do kind of like a cheat code for you guys, and we are going to dive deep on a super foundational case. About restrictive covenants, and it's Schartz VDR-B&M Real Estate Partnership.
Oh yeah, this is a good one. Like if you understand this case, you kind of understand a lot about how restrictive covenants actually work in the real world. So think of it like getting a really solid piece of the property law puzzle, like slotted right into place.
Exactly. And we're gonna go way beyond just kind of like the surface level what happens
Oh
stuff.
yeah.
We're gonna like really unpack the why of this case.
Definitely.
Why it should matter to like anyone who's ever going to have to deal with property law, which, let's be real, is probably a lot of you guys listening.
Pretty much, yeah. Property touches everything.
So to do this deep dive the right way, we went to the source, actual court documents,
Oh, yeah.
and a bunch of like really smart analysis of the case. So let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
What's the basic situation here? What even started this whole legal fight?
All right. So at its heart, it is like your classic neighbor versus developer story. You've got DRB&M Real Estate Partnership, and they want to build a Taco Tico.
Okay, I'm already hungry.
Right. But here's the thing. This property had a recorded restriction on it, a 24-foot setback requirement,
Meaning.
meaning any building on that land had to be at least 24 feet away from the property line. But surprise, surprise, the Taco Tico they built, not so much.
Oh no, how not so much are we talking?
It was a full 24 feet closer than it should have been.
Oh wow, they just like went for it.
They really did. So
Wow.
yeah, straight up violation of that restrictive covenant. And the people living next to this property, we're talking William Esfeld, Wade Schartz, Thon Schartz, and Edna
The
Schartz.
Schartz family was not having it.
Nope, not at all. I mean, imagine you buy a property, you're expecting a certain amount of space, you know, some peace and quiet, and then bam, giant Taco Tico right there in your
Yeah, I'd
face.
be upset too. So what'd they do?
Well, they did what anyone in that situation probably would do. They sued.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they wanted to enforce that covenant, and they asked the court for what's called a mandatory injunction.
Did you
It's
really?
basically a court order that forces the developer to actually do something, in this case, tear down the part of the Taco Tico that was breaking the setback rule.
So just like, oops, sorry, we'll fix it.
Oh no. DRB&M, they came back swinging. They basically said, hey, the neighbors waited way too long to complain about this.
Okay, interesting. So what was their like legal argument?
So their main defense was latches, which is basically this legal idea that if you wait too long to go after your rights and that delay ends up hurting the other side, you can't really complain anymore. They also threw in estoppel waiver and abandonment just for good measure.
It's kind of like even if we messed up, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, the trial court actually agreed with the neighbors. They said,
Yeah.
yeah, you got to take down that building and the cost of doing that, estimated at a cool $62,000.
Okay, so this isn't just some theoretical legal argument.
Right, like there are real consequences.
Big time. I know, I think there was some other stuff going on in this neighborhood, right? Like, weren't there already some smaller violations of these covenants happening?
You are right. There was actually a fence and some temporary structure on other properties that also technically didn't totally follow the restrictions.
So the developers are probably pointing at that and saying, see, everyone's doing it.
That's exactly what they argued. They said all these other violations meant that the whole 24-foot setback thing had basically been abandoned or waived by the community.
Interesting. But the court didn't buy it.
Nope. The court drew a really important distinction here. They said that those old violations were minor and insignificant compared to like a giant permanent Taco Tico violating a key restriction.
Gotcha. So, like a little leeway on some small stuff doesn't mean you can just build whatever you want, wherever you want.
Exactly. It comes down to this idea that restrictive covenants usually protect the overall grand scheme of a development. So, minor deviations that don't mess with that bigger picture, the court's probably going to be more chill about it.
Okay, that makes sense. So, would it be like saying if everyone in a planned community is supposed to have like beige houses and some people have slightly different colored shutters, that doesn't mean suddenly everyone can build a Victorian mansion.
That is a perfect analogy. Good one.
Thanks. So there was this term you used earlier, constructive notice.
Oh, yeah.
And that's always like a big deal in property law. So how did that come into play in this case?
Well, because the 24-foot setback rule was officially recorded in the property records, the court basically said that DRB&M was assumed to know about it when they bought the land.
Okay, so it's their job to do their homework.
Exactly. It's on them to check those records before they start building anything.
Can't just plead ignorance.
Nope. The law says, look, it's right there in the records. You are considered to have seen it.
Constructive notice.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got this major violation. We've got the neighbors going to court, the developers arguing too little too late, and we've got some minor rule breaking in the background. So what was the big question that the Kansas Supreme Court had to figure out?
So it wasn't just about whether the covenant was violated. It was about two main things. First, did the court have to find that the neighbors would suffer something called irreparable injury to issue that injunction to take the building down?
Irreparable injury.
Harm that you can't just fix with money.
Got it.
And second, could the neighbors' delay in suing, along with those other minor violations, legally prevent them from enforcing the covenant, you know, because of those defenses the developers raised?
Okay, so did they wait too long? Was the Taco Tico causing enough harm to justify tearing it down?
Yeah.
What did the court say?
All right. So the Kansas Supreme Court, they sided hard with the landowners. They were all about upholding that restrictive covenant. And they said something super important. Violating a restrictive covenant can be enough reason for an injunction on its own. You don't always have to prove separate irreparable injury.
Because?
Because the court kind of assumes that harm happens to the whole development scheme whenever someone breaks a covenant. If you let one owner ignore the rules, then it weakens the whole agreement for everybody else.
Right, because if they can get away with it, why can't I?
Exactly. So what about latches, waiver, and abandonment? Well, the court said that the neighbors taking their time to sue wasn't unreasonable, given that it was a big permanent violation. Just because they didn't flip out over a temporary fence or a small structure doesn't mean they've given up their right to enforce the big stuff.
Okay, so picking your battles.
Exactly. And then for the waiver and abandonment argument, the court said, nah, those small violations weren't enough to show that everyone had decided to just ditch the setback rule entirely. They didn't change the whole character of the neighborhood the way a giant building does.
So the court's drawing a line in the sand there.
Big time. Oh, and one more thing. The court really called out the developers here. They said, look, it was your job to check the records and make sure your building plans followed the rules before you started digging. Basically, they said ignorance is not an excuse, especially when those rules are public record.
Yeah, you can't just hope nobody notices.
Nope. So what really swayed the court? Well, first, that violation was huge. We're talking 24 feet. Second, the neighbors did try to enforce the rule once things got serious. And third, that setback restriction was still important to the neighborhood. It protected their light, their air, the whole feel of the place. And even though fixing the mistake was going to be expensive, the court basically said, well, that's on the developer for not doing their due diligence.
So lesson learned.
Yeah.
Read the fine print.
Always. Especially in real estate. So for all you future lawyers out there, the big takeaway here is due diligence is everything.
Due diligence meaning?
Basically, do your homework. If you are advising clients whether they're buying or building something, you have to look closely at those property records and figure out what restrictive covenants are in play. Because this case shows us ignoring those rules can cost you big time.
Yeah, lawsuits and demolitions are not cheap. All right, so we've learned a lot about sharks, VDRB&M. What's something our listeners kind of chew on after this, something that builds on what we've talked about?
Here's a question for you. Remember how the court in Shart said there's a difference between a small violation and a big one when it comes to deciding if a rule's been waived? Where exactly is that line? Like, what are the things a court would consider to decide if a bunch of small violations could eventually mean everyone's just given up on a restriction?
That's a good one.
And here's another one. Think about how technology is changing things. What happens when it's super easy to search property records online or even use AI to see who's following the rules and who isn't? Does constructive notice even mean the same thing anymore?
Yeah, that's fascinating. Like, if the information's easy to find, do we expect people to know even more?
Right. It's something to think about.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
All right. So to sum up this whole deep dive, Restrictive covenants are serious business, and everyone involved in property deals needs to understand them.
100%. This case, Schartz VDR B&M, it's like a crash course in how courts look at these agreements and how they get enforced.
So everyone keep this case in mind as you keep learning about property law. It's like a building block for understanding so much more.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it for our deep dive today. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the world of law.